Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
I'll confess, sometimes I let my podcast playlist get out of hand and I get way behind. But there's one show that I subscribe to and any new episode goes right to the top of the queue. That's the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's because I never have to figure out, okay, is this one going to be interesting or do I wait for the next one like I do for some shows? Because Jordan's conversations are always a must-listen for me. He talks to fascinating people from any category you can think of. Authors, scientists, athletes, you name it. He's talked to undercover cops who posed as mafia and the actual career mafia hitmen. And the stories he gets out of these people, just incredible. In one episode, he talked to Paul Holes. You might know that name if you're into true crime. He's the former investigator who uses really advanced methods to solve cold cases, including the Golden State Killer. And another one I really enjoyed was with Sam Harris, an author and neuroscientist who promotes skepticism, and he doesn't mind taking on some seriously controversial topics like politics or religion. That one's going to make you think. Whenever a new episode of the Jordan Harbinger Show pops up, I already know it's going to be an episode that I'll enjoy listening to, and I'll bet you will too. For some episode recommendations, check out jordanharbinger.com/start. Or search for The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What Was That Like? Contains adult language and content and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to What Was That Like? I'm your host, Scott Johnson. This is a show where we talk to regular people, people just like you or just like me, who have found themselves in an extremely unusual situation. We'll hear their stories and get inside their head because we all want to know, what was that like? More information about each episode at whatwasthatlike.com. Here we go. On the night of October 1, 2017, 64-year-old Stephen Paddock opened fire from his room on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel in Las Vegas. He was able to fire over 1,100 rounds in just 10 minutes' time from 10:05 p.m. to 10:15 p.m. His target was the crowd of 22,000 people in the open field below his room. These people were attending the final night of the three-day Route 91 Harvest Music Festival. Country singer Jason Aldean was performing when the shooting began. The end result was that 851 people were injured and 58 people died. This incident is the deadliest mass shooting committed by an individual in the history of our country. The shooter also shot and killed himself, so the motive for the killing will probably never be known. But this story isn't about that cowardly killer. It's about a young lady named Cammie. Cammie lives in California, about 4 hours away from Las Vegas, and she was at the Harvest Music Festival with her parents and her husband Eli. She was there when the shooting began. She saw the terror on people's faces as they ran for safety, and she saw the unfortunate ones that didn't make it. And here's another critical fact that will be an important part of Cammie's story. She was at the music festival for all 3 days. Day three is when the shooting took place. On day one, she learned that she was pregnant. I'll have links for everything we talked about, including Cami's email address, if you'd like to contact her, at the website, whatwasthatlike.com/08. For pictures and other great content, follow me on Instagram at whatwasthatlike. And without further ado, my conversation with Cami. Cami, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
When you were escaping from that concert area, what was going through your mind? I mean, were you thinking perhaps you could just be shot at any moment?
When we were escaping, it wasn't until afterwards that I realized that they were gunshots. My mom and I had gotten separated. My mom got separated from my husband, myself, and my dad. And so we were just worried about getting to her. And then my dad's goal was just to get us out. And I didn't realize until we had met up with my mom that those were gunshots that were happening.
That's just incredible. All right. Well, to really put the things in perspective and the story that we're about to hear from you, we need a little bit of background. And part of one of the critical factors of the story is your pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And you were pregnant at the time, but this was not your first pregnancy. Can you just give us some background, talk about what had happened previously to this?
Sure. So I met my husband when I was in high school, and we dated for 4 years before we got engaged. And then shortly after we got married, we decided we knew we wanted to start our family. And so right after I got my bachelor's degree from Cal State, we started trying to get pregnant. And that was in June of 2016. And then it was September 11th of 2016, I realized I was at a baseball game that I was pregnant. And so we took a test the next day and confirmed it. And just a couple days later, on September 16th, I ended up in the emergency room. We found out that it was an ectopic pregnancy. So what the doctors had explained to me was that a woman's fallopian tube normally is the width of a piece of uncooked spaghetti. Just one piece of uncooked spaghetti is the width of a normal fallopian tube. And the baby, our first baby at that time, was the size of a chocolate chip. So obviously, because it implanted in that tube, the tube exploded. And so I was bleeding internally. So I ended up having emergency surgery, and they had to remove my fallopian tube on one side. And then obviously in that, I lost the pregnancy at that time.
That's a really good analogy with the spaghetti and the chocolate chip. But
that's how they kind of explained it to me, because I didn't understand how it was a problem. Because of course I was just trying to hold on to the pregnancy.
Of course. Yeah. And so you found out that you were again pregnant on September 29 of last year, right? Mm-hmm. How did that, September 29 was the first day of the music festival.
It was. We were leaving that morning for Vegas.
How did that all work out?
Basically what happened was my husband and I had set up an appointment to do infertility treatments because it had been a year since we had gotten pregnant. So the day before we left for Route 91, I called and canceled the appointments because we just couldn't afford it at the time. And then it was that next morning after we had gotten up and gotten ready to go to Vegas, I realized I'm pregnant. And so it wasn't unplanned, but we were trying to get pregnant, but we didn't know anything about it until we were leaving for Route 91. And when we were on our way, we were in the car when I finally told my parents, by the way, we're pregnant. I knew I was. We didn't have a pregnancy test to confirm it yet, but I knew I was.
So that was kind of a surprise then.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
Okay. Were you a little bit nervous about how this one might turn out?
Oh,
because of the previous one?
Completely. I was so worried about everything I was doing when we were in Vegas. Even prior to the day of the shooting, I was, I didn't want to be, in a casino for too long because there's smoke, and I didn't want to be around the smoking that happened at Route 91. Like, people were smoking cigars and cigarettes and stuff. And so I just tried to be as far away from it as possible, because although I couldn't have prevented what happened with my first pregnancy, I didn't want to take the chance that I was going to lose this pregnancy because I did something that I could have not done and prevented the loss.
Right. Yeah. The things that are in your control, obviously. So that was at the front of your mind all the time.
Yes.
Especially just now, or at that time, finding out, oh, wow, I'm pregnant. I got to be really careful.
Yeah, definitely.
So now you live in California, and this festival, the music festival, was in Las Vegas.
How long of a drive is that?
It's about 3.5 to 4 hours, just depending on if there's traffic or who's driving.
And how far in advance had you planned to attend this?
So we had been going to Country Night at San Manuel Casino, which is a casino out here in San Bernardino, for months. And they were, K-Frog was giving away tickets to Route 91. So it was about a month or so, I would say, before Route 91 was scheduled to happen, that my dad had won tickets, but he and my mom had already purchased their own tickets. So because we had been going and been trying to win and hadn't won, my dad said, oh, you and Eli can have the tickets. And so it was about a month before Route 91 happened that we realized that we were going.
So your parents had already gotten tickets. They were planning to go.
Yes.
And you guys were still trying to win tickets on the local radio station.
Yes.
And they actually did win the tickets. And so all four of you all went over in the same vehicle?
Yeah. My dad drove and we all just went out there with him.
All right. So the concert itself was a 3-day event, September 29 to October 1. And so it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I'm not sure how familiar everyone is with this festival, but the actual name of the festival is the Route 91 Harvest Festival. And it's on Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yes.
Right. But it's called that because Las Vegas Boulevard used to be called Route 91.
Correct.
So you got there, you went there on Friday, right?
Yes, we were there all 3 nights of the festival.
So all 3 nights. How does this work? Was there music during the day or was it only at night, or how often were people performing?
I think the earliest I remember anyone starting was about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And it was just like the smaller names or the people that are kind of trying to get their names out there. And then as the night progressed, as it got later and later, that's when the bigger names started coming out. So they always ended the night, usually around 9 or 10, they ended the night with whoever their headliner was for that night. And so we would get there, I think, all 3 nights. We got there about 5 or 6. We didn't really, we weren't super interested in seeing the smaller stages or the smaller names on the big stage. They had 2 different stages. They had the big main stage, and then they had a smaller stage that was in a more covered area.
Was there music going on at both stages at the same time?
Yes.
So that's how big this place was. You can have music on both those stages and they wouldn't interfere with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had it. Wow. The smaller stage, I think, stopped. Their last performer stopped around 8 or so. And I think that was so that it didn't interfere with the big stage because everyone wanted to be at the big stage. It was, I would assume it was probably kind of pointless to have somebody at the smaller stage because everyone was interested in seeing the big performers like Jason Aldean. And,
right. Yeah. The big names.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Sunday night. You got there sometime in the afternoon, hanging out, listening to music. Was it just an open field with general seating, or could you bring chairs in if you wanted to, or how was that set up?
It was pretty general. They had an area, I think they called it corral seating or something similar to that, like what they have at California Stagecoach Festival. And there was a stage, the big stage, and then it was general standing area for a good, a couple hundred yards behind the stage or in front of the stage, I guess. And then on the sides of the stage where everybody was standing in way far back, right before you started hitting all the vendors and the food, there was a place where you could set up your own chairs or where you could purchase preferred seating. And you had to have a special ticket for that, or you know, I don't know if it was a purchase by day type thing. I knew you could have general admission tickets and then the bit more expensive ones where you actually got a seat.
So they would give you like a wristband or something to show that, or?
Yeah. The general admission ones were these ones. They're purple. I still have mine. So I keep it and I wear it. So it just says GA 3-day. And that was the general one for anybody that was just the standing room only.
So as long as you had that, you could just come and go whenever you wanted.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I made a decision a long time ago. When I'm out riding my bike each morning and I cross paths with someone, I always smile at that person, and most people smile back. But I do it because even though it's a little thing, it makes a big difference for me, and maybe for them. It's just a fact. Small actions can bring big benefits. In the same way, it's also true that taking care of your gut can support the health of the rest of your body. Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic benefits not just your gut, but your skin and heart health too. Seed DSO1 is part of my morning routine. If you can call it a routine, it's just 2 little capsules. And I feel amazing. It helps maintain the health of my heart, and it promotes regularity, which I can attest to. Sorry, that may be a little TMI there. For me, it's great that it's vegan, but it's also sugar-free, soy-free, peanut-free, gluten-free, and has no preservatives. It doesn't even need refrigeration. DS01 has so many benefits, including the fact that it's backed by a lot of science, but I've barely scratched the surface here. What I can say, though, is that my body feels great, and I've got a promo code so you can see the benefits for yourself.
Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/what and use code 25what to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/what. Code 25what.
This episode is sponsored by Cook Unity. Go to cookunity.com/what or enter code what before checkout for 50% off your first week. When Jeannie and I go out to eat at some local restaurant, one of the things I love to try is a curry dish. I just love it when a chef can get that perfect balance of spices. It's one of my favorite meals. But even better is to have an amazing curry meal without having to go out, like the one I had recently. It was cauliflower and chickpea coconut curry with steamed jasmine rice. And even though it was created by a professional local chef here in Florida, we enjoyed that meal right here at home, thanks to Cook Unity. And you know what else I love? All the prep and cooking is done for me ahead of time. So all I do is just choose the one I want, and 2 minutes later, I'm enjoying a tasty hot meal. It feels like I'm one of those wealthy podcasters with a chef on staff right here at home. Cook Unity meals arrive fresh. They've never been frozen. All of their packaging is earth-friendly, and it's cheaper than other delivery options. Oh, and you have to try that coconut curry.
Experience chef-quality meals every week delivered right to your door. Go to cookunity.com/what or enter code WHAT before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code WHAT or going to cookunity.com/what.
Here's my hot take for today. If you see something advertised as a free trial, it might cost you more than you expect. At least that's my experience. I give up my credit card to try something for free for a week, then I forget about it, and now I'm paying for it every month without even noticing it. But when I signed up for Rocket Money, that ridiculous waste came to a screeching halt. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. It lets you see all of your subscriptions listed right there in one place. When you see a subscription you're paying for but you don't want, do you really want to spend an hour on the phone trying to track down some customer service agent to cancel it? Rocket Money can help you get rid of it with just a few taps. They also give me this great dashboard so I can see what I've spent this month compared to last month. And they'll even try to negotiate lower bills for me by up to 20%, so I'm spending less and saving more. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/whatwas. That's rocketmoney.com/whatwas. rocketmoney.com/whatwas.
All right, so Sunday night, where were you in relation to the main stage?
So Sunday night, we started off, I don't know, probably 200 yards back from like when we first got there. And as people would leave, after certain performers would finish, we would move up. So someone would leave, we'd move up. Someone would leave, we'd move up. And by the time Jason Aldean started, we were probably 40 or 50 yards from the stage. Like we were really close.
Pretty close, mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, there were like 22,000 people in attendance that night, from what I've read. Mm-hmm. How crowded did you feel? I mean, were you like shoulder to shoulder with people or did you have a little bit of space or what was that like?
The closer we got to the stage, it was more shoulder to shoulder. So you had a room in the back, like if you wanted to dance or if you wanted to, you know, just kind of like pile around and push, you know, you could, you had the room to do it. But as we got closer and closer to the stage, as the night went on, it was very shoulder to shoulder. And there were people right on top of you, like, cause everyone's trying to get close to the stage, but it was very, very, like intimate spacing.
Okay. So somebody that's claustrophobic might have not been too comfortable.
Yeah, or someone that doesn't like to be touched. Like my husband, he had a hard time. He's like, there's all these people and they keep touching me. I'm like, that's just that's the way the concert that's goes.
That's part of the game, yeah. So it was you and your husband, Eli, and your parents. Did you all stay together that, you know, when you were there?
We did, yeah. We all stayed in the same place.
All right. Now, at some point, you decided to not get closer to the stage, but actually get away from the stage. What was your thinking behind that?
So as we got closer and closer to the stage, because of my fear of losing the pregnancy that I had at Route 91, like I lost my last pregnancy, my mom said she could see it on my face. I just wasn't comfortable. I was worried. We were close to a lot of people that were smoking. And as you got closer to the stage, those were the people that were drinking pretty heavily. And so there was a lot of pushing and shoving and catfights and just stuff I didn't want to be around. And so my mom looked at me and she said, do you want to leave? And I said, I just don't want to be this close. And so she said, okay, that's fine. And she had brought some snacks and some dessert cookies that we were going to eat. So she said, let's move. We'll go back to the back. We'll get some ice cream at one of the vendors and we'll just enjoy the rest of the concert from, there was this, it wasn't grass, but it was like AstroTurf grass. So it was fake grass where, if you sat, you could see the big screens that they had put up. It was super far from the stage, but you could still see the screens and see what was going on from the concert. And so just because I was so uncomfortable and worried about the pregnancy, we decided to move.
So that was, I mean, this is a mother and a daughter. Obviously she could, like you said, she could look at your face and figure out what you were thinking. And mm-hmm. that was very nice of them. I mean, they obviously it's in general in a concert, you want to be as close to the performer as possible, but she put your comfort ahead of that. And so all four of you kind of went to the back of the crowd mostly.
We did. We weren't even near where the crowd had started for Jason Aldean. It was super, super condensed. And as you got further back, there was less and less people. And we were actually where the AstroTurf was, where we were sitting, was in between the vendors. So there was vendors down each side and this AstroTurf, like fake grass, was in the middle. So you could see vendors on each side, but it wasn't, it was really far from the stage. Like most everybody was at the stage because they were watching Jason Aldean. But we were back in the back where everyone was sitting to eat.
All right. The shooting started at 10:05 p.m. And I know some people initially thought it was fireworks because mm-hmm. most people have not heard the sound of an automatic weapon firing continuously. And if you listen to some of the videos, you know, just to hear that sound, it does sound kind of like fireworks, you know, yeah. And at a concert like this, you'd kind of expect people to have fireworks and just, you know, setting off firecrackers and stuff like that. How long did it take for you to realize that it wasn't fireworks?
So the shooting had started and my mom had gone to where the entrance was to get these cookies that we were going to have with this ice cream. And so it was my dad, my husband, and I sitting in this area, and I had just sat down. My feet were hurting from my boots, and I remember not wanting to get up. And it started, and I remember looking around to try and look past my dad to see the fireworks, what I thought were fireworks, because I figured, you know, it's Jason Aldean. He's going to have some fireworks. It's the last night of the festival. He's going to go out. And my dad looked at me, and he said, you need to get up. And I didn't understand why. And I heard the shots, but I still at that point didn't know that there were shots. And so I get up and my husband grabs my hand and my dad's already a couple yards in front of us running towards my mom or where my mom was.
So your dad knew what it was right off the bat?
Yes. My dad, he's, what do they call him? Emergency personnel. He's been a firefighter for, I don't know about, I think 15 years. I'm not 100% sure how long he's been a firefighter, but he's been a paramedic since I was born. So for 25 years, he's dealt with situations like that. So he knew exactly what it was right off the bat, but I had no idea.
So he knew immediately. And so he took off heading for your mom because she was kind of separated from the rest of you at that time. Can you describe what happened around you then?
Well, as he got up and he started running, basically from where I was looking at the stage, he started running to my right to go towards these lockers to my mom. And as I got up, my husband's trying to help me up. And and I look and everyone's running at us. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm like, why is everybody running? What's happening? Like, you know, I didn't get it. And everybody's just got this like look of total fear on their face. Like no amount of Hollywood actors would be able to recreate the absolute terror that people had on their faces. It was disturbing to see people so worried. And I still didn't, I was like, I don't get why people are, you know, running and what's the problem and what happened. And so as we get up to start running, I accidentally ran into this girl. We were running. We basically kind of like, if we were in cars, we would have T-boned each other the directions we were running. And so I helped her up and she kept running her direction. And my husband came back and got me. And we ended up meeting up with my mom at the lockers, and we were there for, it felt like forever. I'm sure it was only like 2 or 3 minutes, but it felt like we were there for 15 minutes waiting for the bullets to stop before my dad wanted us to start running for the exit.
Did you call 911?
I didn't, no.
Okay. Well, as it turns out, I think over 500 people did call 911.
Hello, this is Metro Police. There's been a shooting at the Route 91 festival.
Where exactly are you located?
I'm located right out front of the main stage, and my friend has been shot, I think. We can't really move her. There's
where exactly are you located? Where exactly are you located?
It's at the, oh my God, they're still shooting.
Do you see the shooter?
No, I think he's on that, on the street side. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh
where,
my God.
Where exactly are you?
I'm at the Village. It's right across the street from the Lux store.
What do you see in front of you?
I'm looking at the Lux store. I'm in front of the main stage. I don't know how else to describe it. There's a big sound tower.
You see a sound tower in front of you?
I'm in between the sound tower and the main stage. And they're still shooting. They're still shooting.
And your friend has been shot?
Ah! Oh my God. I just, dude.
Stay on the phone with me. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Your friend has been shot?
Yes, I believe so.
So you're near the main stage?
Yes. Yes. And everybody is running.
Are you able to see the shooter at all?
No. No. There's. I don't know.
Where is your friend? Where is your friend that was injured?
She's right next to me.
How extensive are her injuries?
I can't see. She can't move. Oh my God. They're still shooting. Fuck. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Do you see them or you just hear the shot?
No. We just hear, it's like machine guns. It's on the other side of this, the venue. They're like shooting from Las Vegas Boulevard.
What is your name?
Yeah, my name is Jennifer.
Jennifer, what's your last name? I can hear it. What is your last name? Phone number. Your friend, is she able to speak?
No.
Okay.
No.
What do you see right near you? Where exactly are you located?
We're on face down on the lawn right now.
You're face down on the lawn near the main stage?
Yes, but everybody is running, and as soon as we can get her up, I don't know if we can get her up.
She's not able to move?
Oh my God. No.
Is she conscious?
Yes, she's conscious.
What is her name?
Carrie. Carrie.
What's her last name?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Why have they not caught him yet?
We've got help on the way, ma'am, okay?
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes! Yeah.
We've got help on the way, ma'am, okay?
Okay. Okay. She's like passing out. She's passed out.
Where is she bleeding, ma'am?
I saw her on her, like, the right side of her breast.
Okay, we have help on the way, okay? We're going to get there soon as we can. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
All right, you're welcome.
Okay, bye.
911 emergency, Jaeger 8613. Do you need police, fire, medical?
911 emergency. Hi, do you need police, fire, medical, ma'am?
I think we need the police.
What's
We're at the Harvest Festival, and I think there's shops being, a lot of shops being parked. Does everybody know that?
Is it near Mandalay Bay?
What?
Are you at the Mandalay Bay?
Mandalay Bay. We're actually hiding near the port, in the porta potty area.
Okay, ma'am, are you at the Harvest Festival?
Yes, we're at the Harvest Festival.
Ma'am, did you see the shooter?
No.
Okay, ma'am, what's your name?
Tracy.
How do you say your last name, Tracy?
What?
How do you say your last name? We already have a call.
It's.
What's your phone number, ma'am? Okay, are you across the street from Mandalay Bay?
We're across the Mandalay Bay. We're in the parking area, but we're hiding in.
Okay, you're in the parking area?
No, we're hiding in the porta potty area. But we keep hearing the shots getting closer. And there's people down out there, I think.
Okay.
There's tons of people. Oh my God.
Ma'am, are you saying that the shots sound closer?
I feel like they're coming closer to us.
Where's the porta potty?
We're on the strip side across from Luxor. There's a bunch of porta potties there. People are still running, but we hid back here.
Okay. They sound closer, correct, ma'am?
Yes.
Did you see the shooter?
No. Don't see. Oh, can you hear that? Can you hear it?
Yes, ma'am.
Like someone has a machine gun or something. I don't know.
Are you safe? Are you somewhere safe?
I don't know. We feel like we're safe, but we don't know if they're going to come around the corner. We have the police.
Just stay with me, okay, ma'am? Ma'am, we're on our way. Just stay with me. You're doing a good job, okay?
Okay.
So, ma'am.
Oh, my God.
Ma'am.
My daughter. I'm so scared.
Okay, ma'am. You didn't see the shooter, though, right?
No, I don't want to look.
Okay, no. I don't want you to look. Just stay where you're safe. The most important.
Okay.
Are you able to safely move, or you feel safe there?
We're with a group of people, and we
can't. How many are you with?
We're with, there's probably about 15 of us. They're out. Apparently, they're on the strip. These people are on the shooters are on the strip.
The shooters probably on the strip on Las Vegas Boulevard.
People are saying that they think they're on the strip.
Where on the strip? How many are there? Did anyone see a shooter?
They're on top of the Mandalay.
Turn left.
Did anyone see the shooter?
They said they're on the top of the Mandalay.
Who is?
The shooters are on top of the Mandalay.
Where?
I don't know. Somebody just came by and told us to get out. Said he opened a gate so we could get out.
Okay, so are you able to leave? I want you to make sure you're safe. Do you know where on top of the way? No, where?
No.
Is that guy there that I can talk to?
Five at a time.
Wait. They told us not to all go at once. They said every five people every 30 seconds.
Okay, who's talking to you? Is the police with you?
Yes, I'm sorry, what?
Is the police with you?
I didn't hear you. What?
Who's telling you, ma'am? Who's telling you?
Somebody came by, one of the security guards came by and said, okay, open the gate and they're letting...
Okay, security is helping you?
What?
Ma'am, is security helping you?
I have somebody yelling behind me.
Is security helping you, ma'am?
Not now. They're just opening... They're opening the gates for us a little at a time and letting a few people out.
Ma'am, I'll let you go, but I need to know, do you know where the shooter is on top?
No, I can't see. I can't see.
Where's the person that said they saw the shooter? Where's the person at?
Oh, he's gone. He just came by to told us how to get out of here.
Okay.
And get out. But we can't get out now.
Okay. Just stay where you're safe, okay?
Okay. She said to stay where we are.
Stay where you feel safest, okay?
All right.
Stay where you are.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I'll let you go.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll let you go. All right. We're on the area, ma'am.
Hey, this is Scott. Did you know we offer a premium feed of this show that is completely ad-free and there are bonus episodes? Go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus or just click the link in the show notes of any episode to learn more and to sign up. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can sign up right there in the app
by clicking Try Free at the top of the episode list. And I hope to see you in the premium feed soon.
911 emergency, Brown 15968. Do you need police, fire, or medical?
We need police. There's gunshots at the station at the Harvest Route 91.
Where? I'm sorry. There's shots where?
At the Route 91 concert.
Where's that?
It's at the Strip.
Where? At the Strip.
Right across the street from Mandalay Bay.
Reno and
Mandalay Bay.
Okay, just a moment, ma'am. And how many? Do you see who's shooting?
No, I'm fine.
Do you know who's shooting, ma'am?
No, we don't know. We just heard two gunshots.
Okay. And how many people?
Oh, it's thousands of people.
Okay. Not a problem.
Okay.
Stay on the line, please, okay? If you can stay on the line, please stay on the line, please.
Okay.
Okay. Now, can you please tell me what you're seeing?
I'm on top of the House of Blues.
Okay.
We're trying to stay down.
Okay. Where did the shooting start?
It sounds like it's from the west. I'm facing the south. What?
Just sounds like it's coming from where? Hello? You said it sounds like it's coming from the west? Ma'am.
Oh, it's mine.
Hello, ma'am, what are you seeing?
I'm not seeing any. Everyone's just running.
And which way are you running to?
I'm running north.
Okay. And you said you're on the House of Blues, but now you've left the House of Blues.
Yes,
do you see anyone injured?
No, not anyone.
And are you still hearing the gunshot?
Yes.
Are you still hearing them right now?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Ma'am.
Yes.
What's your name?
My name is Esmeralda.
Esmeralda. Where are you right now, Esmeralda?
I'm on the House of Blues.
I understand. And are you guys all, you guys are on the roof, right?
Yes, we're on the roof.
Okay.
Safe? Okay.
And are you up there with everyone? Does everyone seem safe, or are they still running?
That's it.
Okay, ma'am.
Where we're at, there's no way to get down.
Okay, ma'am. We have officers en route, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Oh, bye-bye.
So you took cover in behind these lockers. Was this like a wall of lockers like you'd see at a theme park where people could put their stuff while they're at the concert and come back and get it later? Or?
Yes, it was very similar. It was kind of like an S. So, I guess like a U with a line of lockers in between that faced outwards. So we had just rented. We didn't know that they had them. And that morning we said, oh, we'll rent one of these lockers. And you could bring in food. Like everybody could bring in a gallon sized Ziploc bag worth of whatever. And there was four of us. So we brought in four, and we had sandwiches and snacks and cookies. And so that's where my mom had stored everything. And she was the one with the little combination key to get in. So that's why she had gone to the lockers to get all this stuff.
Got it. So you took cover under the lockers for a while, or behind the lockers. Could you tell which direction the shooting was coming from?
So where we were, I could. Where we were in the lockers, it sounded like it was coming from the stage. Like it didn't sound, I mean, it was close to us, but it didn't sound like it was coming from across the street. And I think that was the Luxor that was right there, or from across the street at the exit where the Tropicana was. I could tell it was coming from behind us over by the main stage and by Mandalay Bay. I mean, it was loud enough that it was obvious, but it wasn't like so deafening that you couldn't tell where it was coming from.
And so once you left the locker area, how far away were you from the car? Or was it a car or a truck?
It was a truck. It was a pickup truck.
Okay. So you guys wanted to get to the pickup truck to get out of there. How far away was that? How far did you have to walk?
I'm terrible as far as measurements go, so I wouldn't be able to tell you 100%. I mean, I would guess like another 200 yards. So we were at the edge of the street where the venue was. And basically we crossed the street and ran about halfway into Tropicana's parking lot. And we had parked pretty close that day. So we were closer to the venue than we were every other night, luckily.
As you were walking or running, did you see other people that had gotten injured or gotten shot?
We did. There was some people that were just lying down. It was hard to know if they were dead or if they were just injured. And my dad had told me that he told us later, he wanted to stop, but because that's his instinct as a first responder is to stop and help people. But he was also worried because my mom and I just aren't used to that kind of stuff. And so he was worried about getting us out so that he needed to take care of us first. And every time we got to somebody, thankfully, there was already some kind of first responder or like a nurse or another person like my dad that was able to help whoever was injured. I remember we, on the edge of the Tropicana parking lot, there was a tour bus. I don't remember whose it was. And there was a guy behind there that had been shot through the knee. And he was sitting there. And so we stayed with him for like a minute before some first responders were able to get to him. And then from there, we kept going until we hit the car or the truck.
It seems like it would be a little scary thinking, okay, I'm running toward safety, but you're running past people that had already been shot. Did it seem like maybe you were running like into more danger?
I didn't feel like I was running into more danger, but it felt like we were running we were truly just trying to get to the truck, and it, like, there was no sense of safety. Like, we didn't know 100% where the shooting was coming from, how many shooters there were, what kind of angle they had. So it was running without any kind of assurances that we were running anywhere safe other than our truck. Mm-hmm.
So at that point, you all four were back together, right? Correct. As you were heading toward the truck. Based on where you were parked, when you got to the truck and got in, did you feel safe in there?
It felt safer than being on the grounds at Route 91, but the chaos that was happening around us, like, I don't know if people just didn't understand that that there was a shooting that was happening, but we were trying to get out onto the street from the Tropicana parking lot, but nobody would move. Like, it was just trafficy, and I don't know if it was because they didn't realize that there was all this happening around them. So until we got, like, the further we got away from the venue, the more safe it felt. But even being in the truck, it was, like I said, we didn't know where the shooting was coming from. You know, it could have been from anywhere. So we still, you know, the car isn't bulletproof. So it was still just as uneasy.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Before you got in the truck, as you were headed that direction, did you hear other people talking, other conversations? What were people saying as they were fleeing?
People were just saying, what the hell happened? And, you know, I can't believe that this is happening. And is everybody okay? And where is so-and-so? There was so much unsurety, among everybody, and just wanting to get out. Like, some people were saying, like, I'm leaving Vegas tonight, fuck this place. Like, they were super upset, obviously. And people were just ready to leave.
Well, especially as you're running away and you see people that you're going past that have been shot. I mean, that's literally like a war zone. And no, I mean, people aren't used to seeing anything like that.
Oh yeah. There's so much that you hope that nobody ever sees in their life. And then you see that kind of stuff just going to a concert. I'm sure nobody expected that.
So you must have been, I mean, obviously you were scared for the baby as much as you were scared for yourself, I'm sure.
Yeah. My number one goal was just to do what I could, not to get myself out for myself, but for the baby.
That's a mother's instinct right there. Mm-hmm. Well, as you got in the truck and left, I mean, the city must have just been total chaos then.
It was. By that point, they had already, so we were driving, we took one of the side streets that runs parallel with Las Vegas Boulevard. I forget the name of the street. And it was running, like I said, parallel, and we were heading towards condo where we were staying, which was really close to the Rio. And as we turned left to the street that takes us to the Rio and our condo, you could already see that the freeway was completely stopped. They had no, like, nobody was allowed on it. They had cones and flashers, and they had shut down the freeway right there so that nobody could leave.
And of course, by that time, the shooting had probably stopped, because the actual shooting only took about 10 minutes. Of course, he got off like over 1,000 rounds in that time, but the shooting had stopped, but they still didn't have, they didn't know where he was, maybe. Maybe they did by that time. I'm not sure the timeline. And that's part of the question of the whole scenario, was the actual timeline of what happened, you know. So did you just drive back home that night, or what did you do that night? You said you went back to your condo.
We did. So when we were leaving the Tropicana, we actually had three couples that jumped into the bed of the truck because they were trying to get away from everything. And we had gotten to a stoplight, and one of the couples had gotten out to try and go call some family that they had that were local. And the other two couples asked if they could come back to the condo with us because they were staying on the strip. One couple was staying at the Luxor, and the other couple, I think, was staying at Mandalay Bay. And so they obviously couldn't get back to their hotel. So we went to the condo and turned on the news and stayed up and just kind of watched it until the couples were ready to go back.
Wow. So these are obviously people that you didn't even know, but in the midst of a disaster like that, everybody just helps everybody.
Pretty much. Yeah. We had no idea who they were. I know one of the couples was from Canada, so they had traveled all the way from Canada to go to this festival. They were both police officers. And then another couple was a couple that was also from California. They worked at Disneyland.
And you're all country music fans, so that was the bond that held you together, sort of, huh?
Pretty much.
All right. So as you got back to the condo that night and with these other people, and you're all watching the news, obviously it was live coverage probably all night. I would think it would have gone, or well into the night anyway. I can't imagine what a sense of relief you had knowing that you escaped that and so many people didn't.
Yeah, when we were watching the news, they seemed so unsure about what was happening. And I mean, first responders not knowing what was happening and to know that we were far enough from it that we were safe was probably one of the biggest reliefs that we could get, was that we were going to at least make it out of Vegas when there's, you know, 58 people that didn't and so many more that were actually injured.
Right. I heard, wasn't it like 500 people that were injured?
That's what I read.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, this story has a happy ending, obviously, not just because you escaped that night, but tell us what's happened since then.
So we came home and we went and saw the doctor and they told us everything was fine. And then 9 months later, I gave birth to our daughter on my 25th birthday.
She has the same birthday as you.
She does. And that was actually her due date, too.
Wow.
So when we came back from Route 91, they said, oh, your due date's June 14th. And my husband said, oh, that's amazing. And the nurse was like, why? And I said, oh, that's my birthday. She goes, well, you know, not every baby's born on their due date. I said, no, I know. It's not going to be likely that she'll be born on hers. And lo and behold, she was.
That's incredible. So June 14, you had little baby Rosalie.
I did, yes.
And you are now a happy, happy mother.
I am. It kind of feels like everything came full circle. We're finally able to kind of close the door on what happened there, because our biggest worry was getting home and getting the baby that was inside of me home. And now she's the baby that's outside of me. So we can kind of share the protection now that it's not just me that's physically responsible for her.
Right.
And it's really, like I said, it's just come full circle knowing that we brought her home, and that, well, we brought her home from Vegas and now we brought her home.
And you actually credit Rosalie with saving your life.
I do. Yeah. We definitely would have, you know, hung in there and just kind of dealt with the smoke and the weed and the drinking and the rowdiness if I didn't have this little life inside me. But because Rosalie was, you know, inside of me, and I was trying to protect her in any way that I could to prevent another loss, that's why we moved. Had I not had Rosalie inside me, or at least known that she was inside me, we would have stayed and just partied.
Right. Yeah. And that noise that we hear is Rosalie, right?
Yes, I apologize.
That's no, it's no problem at all. Do you ever think about the fact that you're a survivor of the deadliest mass shooting in American history?
Sometimes I think about it, but it's, I don't know. It's like people ask me about Route 91 all the time because they see me as a survivor. And I know that I am. And it's not that I don't accept that I am, but I guess I just, like, I don't see myself first and foremost as a survivor. Like, you know, there's so many identities that I have as, you know, a wife and a mom and a daughter. And so survivor isn't one that I'm accustomed to, I guess. It's going to take some getting used to.
Does this experience or going through that, everything you've been through, give you any kind of different outlook or perspective on life?
It does. I mean, I think everybody has this idea that life is precious and that, you know, that everything happens in their right time. But Rosalie is living proof to me that God had a plan for my life. And if I had gone to Route 91 and not been pregnant, if I had kept my first pregnancy and had that baby, I would have gone to Route 91 not pregnant. And there's no telling what could have happened to myself, my husband, my parents. But even though I didn't know at that time that, you know, that this loss was going to be better for me in the future, I mean, as soon as Rosalie came to be, I knew that was why. She was given to us at the time she was to save us. And I can't, there's no better testimony that God has this plan for everybody's life. And I truly see that. And I believe it now more so than I ever did.
Sometimes things can happen and our lives take a different direction. We don't even realize it at the time, right?
Yeah.
But when you look back on it with the advantage of seeing the history and what happened, it's pretty amazing how that happens sometimes.
Yeah, we spent so many months being angry that we lost that pregnancy, not understanding that there was so much more to be gained than what we lost.
Well, Cammie, it's a wonderful story, and I'm so glad it has a happy ending.
Thank you.
I love stories like this.
Us too.
So I appreciate your time, and thanks so much for sharing it with us.
Of course. Thanks again so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode. My goal for each show is to introduce you to people and stories that you just won't find on other podcasts. If you want to help support the show, you just need to subscribe, and that way you'll never miss an episode. You can click on any of the subscribe buttons on the website, which is whatwasthatlike.com. You'll see all the links right there at the top where you can subscribe directly to this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, or on whatever app you use to catch your podcasts. And you'll see there are also links to Twitter and Instagram, so you can follow us there, and I hope you do. And if you really want to connect with me and get in on the discussion with other listeners to this show, you can join our private Facebook group. You can find that at whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook. And of course, you can always email me directly at scott@whatwasthatlike.com, or just go to the website and click on Contact. I'd love to hear what you think of this episode or a previous episode. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next show where we'll once again ask the question, what was that like?